Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Alex Zalman. You're listening to a Comic Book Club Extra, and I'm talking with Jeff Lemire today, who's written a couple of original graphic novels, mainly for Top Shelf recently, with his Essex County trilogy. So, Jeff, thanks so much for taking the chance to talk to me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Let's start off. Let's talk a little bit about your background. You grew up in Canada, that's right.
Yeah, and I still live there, yeah.
Cool. And you grew up on a farm in Canada, is that correct?
Yeah, I grew up on a farm in an actual place called Essex County, and the setting of the books that I've done for Top Shelf is a real place that I decided to go back and kind of set these fictional stories and characters in. But apart from the characters, the settings and locations and stuff in the book are all drawn from real places around where I grew up.
Oh, okay. Did you, this is sort of skipping ahead a little bit, but since it is based on a real place, did you use a lot of reference when you were setting up the pictures in the books? I mean, was it physically going around or from your what you remembered?
A little bit of both. I had a couple of key locations that I had a couple photos of, but for the most part, it started off in an attempt to set it in a real place, and as the story sort of grew, it became more and more fictional, so I just kind of imagine more and more of it, I guess, as I went along.
Cool. Let's go back a little bit then. What got you into comics originally? I mean, why illustrated? Why graphic novels?
I think I've been reading comics, I think, for as long as I can remember. I probably since I was 3 or 4 years old, I started getting them, and I've just been sort of obsessed with them ever since then. My passion for them has never really waned, but I guess, you know, originally I got into the same stuff most kids my age did, like the, you know, Marvel or DC superhero stuff, and as I got older, things like Vertigo and some of the more independent people like Chris Ware and Dan Klaus were coming along, and it kept me interested, and I've never really had any other interest in anything else.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I guess in a certain sense, you really have to love what you do if you're doing comics, right?
Yeah, it's such a, I guess, time-intensive sort of medium to work in. If you're not passionate about it, I don't think it's ever really going to work out, or it's not going to, you're certainly not going to be able to maintain any kind of career in it, because it just takes too much out of you.
Right. You both write and illustrate your stories. What was your first love? I mean, was it both of them? Did it start with drawing? Did it start with writing?
I think it started with drawing, and then drawing just leads to storytelling. And once you start wanting to tell stories, then you know, obviously, the other sort of comes too. So, but yeah, I guess it all starts with drawings with me.
Okay. And do you feel like one style has informed the other? This is kind of a strange question, I guess, but do you feel like the way you draw has influenced the way you write, or vice versa?
I think that's really a fair statement. I think I like to sort of pace my stories out in kind of a slow pace with like a lot of silent panels and things like that, and as a result, my writing style, for whatever it is, I think tends to be pretty sparse and pretty underwritten in a way, just sort of keep that kind of pacing or that sense of like open spaces and emptiness and things in my work.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, I mean, this is sort of an obvious point, but do you think that was at all influenced by where you grew up?
Oh yeah, obviously. And, right. And especially with these books in particular, that's the sort of style that I thought needed to be, the books need to be told in. So, yeah, as a result, I think the style sort of, the subject matter sort of informed the style, yeah.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about Lost Dogs, which was your first original graphic novel, is that?
Yep, okay. It was, yeah.
To be totally honest, I'm a terrible interviewer. I haven't been able to find any copies of it, let alone any information about what the plot was or anything like that on the web, other than the fact that it won the Zarek Award.
Okay.
So what can you tell me about the book?
Yeah, that's fine. I guess just to sum it up, I guess it's about, it's in the turn of the century in sort of a fictional European village, and it's this big hulking 300-plus, 8-foot-pound kind of farmer who takes his wife and daughter to the city one day to see a play, and basically they're attacked and separated from one another, and the story sort of follows his quest to reunite with his family, and in the process, he kind of gets sold into underground boxing and things like that. It's kind of a really noirish sort of thing set, I guess, in the Victorian era kind of thing. And yeah, I won the Zurich Award in 2005, I guess, and I self-published that. And yeah, it is hard to get copies now. I think I only have about 100 or so left now that I'm selling off my website, but that's about all there is left. So.
Are there any plans to reprint it at all?
I talked to Top Shelf a little bit about it, but I'm not sure at this point how interested I am in going back to it, just because it's, I guess, kind of a formative work for me, and it's mm-hmm. really different from stylistically from what I had done with Essex County and stuff, and I don't want to throw it out after the Essex County books, you know what I mean? Something that's sort of an earlier work. And
sure.
For this point, I'm just trying to establish myself, sort of, so I'm just trying to keep my stuff consistent. But maybe at some point later on, when I have maybe a larger body of work, I can put it out as like an earlier look into my earlier stuff or something.
Yeah. Just to very briefly talk about the Zurich Award. I mean, that's, especially for a young artist, that's kind of a big deal, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's probably responsible for me being able to, you know, hook up with Top Shelf and get more books out and things, and indirectly, because I mean, without that, unless you have a publisher already, there's just no way to get your work distributed by Diamond or get it into stores. And once you can do that with the Zurich Award, I think publishers do take you a little more seriously once you have something that's already been published. So when I sent things to Top Shelf originally and stuff, I think when they saw that I had won an already distributed book on my own, they probably took me a bit more seriously. So.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that next, actually, in terms of getting hooked up with Top Shelf. So you submitted the book to them, Lost Dogs?
Yeah. No, I Lost Dogs, this is
okay.
All done. You know, Lost Dogs had already been published. And then I set up and started drawing the first Essex County book, Tales from the Farm, just without a publisher, on my own. And I finished that book. And then I just sent the completed book to a couple of publishers that I thought it might suit, one being Top Shelf, and they accepted it. And they also were interested in doing the trilogy, which I had kind of started to develop halfway through the first book, so it kind of all worked out.
So it was that was you're really anticipating my question as well, which is very exciting. So you basically, the first book feels pretty complete in and itself, the first book, Tales from the Farm. So you decided halfway through, though, that you wanted it to be a trilogy?
Yeah, it's a funny thing that when you start working on something like that, and I've tried to make all three volumes stand alone on their own, but obviously if you read them together, they tell a larger story as well. But I think probably about somewhere halfway through drawing Tales from the Farm, I just started to get more ideas and for characters and for storylines and the ways I could expand sort of on the themes I touched on in the first book, and it just, like, there was a bigger story, so I just started writing the second book as I was working on the first, and it all just kind of just grew out of that, so.
Well, for those, I mean, I've read them, but for those people who have not read the first two books in the series, Tales from the Farm and Ghost Stories, what would you say the general idea of the series is? I mean, what's your pitch for it, I guess?
I don't know if there's, like, a high concept tagline or anything, but
aliens. It's aliens. Aliens attack the world.
Sorry?
Aliens attack the world, right? And just kill
yeah.
everyone. Yeah.
Well, the first book is just to sum it up quickly. It's it kind of revolves around an orphan 10-year-old boy named Lester who goes to live on his uncle's farm in Essex County, which is sort of like I said, a fictionalized version of where I grew up. And the two of them don't get along very well, and the uncle's never been around kids, and he's pretty uncomfortable with the whole situation as well. And at the same time, Lester sort of befriends the town's sort of hawking gas station owner, who is a former hockey star, and the two kind of escape into this fantasy world that they create where they're both superheroes fighting aliens and things like that. You know, throughout the course of the book, the fantasy sort of fades, and Lester kind of has to face the reality of his situation. And then the second book, Ghost Stories, I sort of expand on the themes I touched on in that book and expanded the, I guess, family tree of the characters from the first book, and we get to go back and see some of the history of Essex County and sort of generations before Lester and the other character.
What I thought was interesting is besides the recurring characters, and there's at least one parallel scene, I guess, in the two
Yeah,
books so far.
there's one direct scene where they kind of interact in the second book.
It seems like there's a few big dominant themes that are running through the series so far. Both of the books, the first thing that kind of jumped out at me was the idea of imagination, because it seems like in the first book, the child is, imagining these scenarios, these sort of fantastical scenarios. In the second one, the old man is Vince. Wait, Lester. Which one is he?
Lou is Vince.
Lou. Oh my God. Yeah, again, I'm a terrible interviewer.
No, that's fine. Everyone mixes them up. I do sometimes.
So Lou again is, imagining scenes from his past. So do you feel like that's one of the dominant themes of
Yeah,
the
like
series?
obviously one of the big themes I was trying to touch on was how, I mean, the first book is really about childhood and how in childhood when there's things in our lives we can't deal with or whatever, we tend to escape into a fantasy world. And then I sort of juxtapose that in the second book with an old man who he's already lived his life, and he's kind of the things he can't deal with are mistakes he's made in the past. And the way he sort of deals with that is to escape into his memories, and so sort of playing sort of youth against old age. And I guess in some ways, the third book will end up being a bit of middle age. So.
Well, why is another thing, a very related thing that I think is running through the book so far as well, is the theme of death, and I guess also how you live your life. Why, without sounding ridiculous and snotty, why is it important for you to be talking about this?
I don't. I, for me, it's the book's really about family and sort of the generations of one family and how certain things seem to pass on from one generation to the other. Like certain, maybe sometimes guilt or regret or things like that can pass on from one to another. So I think seeing the whole. Each stage of life through different characters from, like I said earlier, childhood right through to old age and death is just sort of a way of fully exploring those generations of one family. So.
One of the things that really struck me about the second book is, and I'm trying to think how to phrase this question in particular, because it really felt like you really captured, at least for myself, not necessarily being an old man, what it is like to be older and be very close to death. How do you feel you captured that so succinctly and so well? Is that based on anything from your life
Well,
or?
it tends to be easy for me because I'm actually 120 years old
Oh.
myself. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Those characters were based on two different people from my life, really. One was my grandfather, and who I was really close to, and the second character was a great uncle of mine who was my mom was helping to take care of sort of his later stages of life, and much like the nurse in the second book. And he was going deaf, and he was moved to a nursing home. And a lot of the scenes and character traits and stuff for the character of Lou were just taken directly from stories my mother was telling me about her experiences with my uncle and my grandfather. So.
So here's a little bit of a lighter question. Are you a hockey fan? I mean, clearly
Yeah,
that's
I'm a massive hockey fan, and I still play hockey myself, and yeah, aside from comics, I guess it's my other passion, so it always seemed natural at some point the two would meet up in a project.
One of the things I really loved about the second book in particular, there's very dynamic drawings in there of the hockey games, which I thought was really, really
Right.
cool. A couple of those you took from life, is that?
Just a couple. There was just actually just one. There's might be two panels in there that were sort of these iconic, classic hockey photos. I don't know how iconic they are in the U.S., but certainly in Canada, they're really well known. And when you're sort of looking back at that time period, it seemed any attempt I made to reference these photos was just such an obviously I was obviously referencing them anyway, so I just decided to. Pay homage to them, but for the most part, those games, other than those two sort of key images, were pretty much just imagined from nothing. And that was a really challenging and really fun thing to do, was to try to illustrate a game in a way that would be visually interesting and still sort of accessible for people who didn't really understand the game, and just try to build it in with the other storylines and drama that I was doing to the characters and stuff. So it was a lot of fun.
Technically speaking, I mean, just staying on this point a little bit more,
Sure.
how do you put a sequence together like that? Is it when you're writing out, you know, your script for, do you write out the script first? Do you come up with the images first? Is it?
It tends to be not never the same way twice. I themes with dialogue, I tend to start with the dialogue and then break that down into, I guess, what kind of beats or sort of break it down into panels from there. And scenes without dialogue, where they're more visual scenes, like the hockey scenes or things like that, I just tend to thumbnail them out, sort of. I guess I just sort of run through it in my head, almost like a movie, and then just thumbnail out the key images and go through a couple drafts until I think I've got all the beats. And then, but again, my working process tends to change all the time, so.
I guess then, you know, it seemed to me at least from the first book to the second book that I felt like there was a huge leap forward in terms of the maturity of both the art and the writing from Tales of the Farm to Ghost Story. Do you find that the book is also, I guess, probably about three times as big? As you get, you know, as you practice more, do you find that the process goes faster, or does it go slower, or does that not even come into the equation?
I don't know that the speed, it tends to always stay the same. I can do usually anywhere from 2 to 3 pages a day, so that doesn't really change. But so I tend to work really fast anyway. But there is definitely a big leap, I think, in the artwork between the two books, and then I think maybe even another leap in the third book. So I guess I'm always refining, but always trying to keep that sort of initial energy I had with my early work, where maybe I wasn't quite as, I guess, as refined or as whatever. But so it's always the challenge now is more trying to keep the energy of my early stuff, but still move forward and become, I guess, I don't know, refine it more and things like that. So
Sure.
but I don't know if that affects. It doesn't seem to have affected the speed at which I draw, anyway.
Sure. We're going to get to talking about the third book in the trilogy in a second, but first I want to take a little sidestep and talk to you about on your website, you have a lot of superhero type art, mainly that you've done at conventions. Is that correct, or?
I mean, I'm unashamed to say that I'm a bit of a fanboy as well, so I love all that stuff too, and just when you're doing stuff like Ghost Stories and Tales from the Farm, that tends to be so personal and sort of, for what, at least to some degree, grounded in reality and things. Just drawing, I guess, drawing Batman every once in a while is kind of like a fun release. So I tend to just, that tends to be how I warm up in the morning, just to do something kind of fun without a lot of expectations like that, and just, draw superheroes or things like that. And I always put them up on my site for people to check out.
I mean, it's interesting because also you were talking earlier about how you started off, you know, what got you into comics in a certain sense is mainstream superhero comics. And I mean, I've talked to other people like the first thing that comes to mind is Jeffrey Brown drawing a Wolverine comic or something like that. There's certainly the industry, well, the fan base, I guess, is very much divided in a certain way between people who like indie comics, you know, in quotes, and people who like mainstream comics. But it seems on the creator side, perhaps there's not much of as much of a divide. Is that something?
Well, I don't know. Like, I can only speak for the creators that I know, and mostly the other top shelf guys, like Jeffrey, as you mentioned, or Matt Kent, another guy that I know well. And I know that, especially Matt and I, we're both huge fanboys, and we love superhero comics, and we love indie comics. I basically, for me, it's, I like any comic that's good. I don't really care if it's a genre-based thing or whatever. And yeah, I think that divide tends to be more with maybe the publishers and the marketing people or whoever. It's, to me, it's like you can't really turn your back on what got you interested in comics in the first place, because that's obviously always going to be a part of how you create them. So I try to embrace both the indie stuff that I love, the European stuff I love, and the mainstream stuff, and sort of mash it all together.
If you got a chance without giving up what you're doing now to work on a quote mainstream book, is there anything that jumps out in your mind?
Well, yeah, just, I am working on two books right now, one for Top Shelf and one for another publisher, so I can't really talk Specifically, what I'd love to do next, because,
Okay.
but I guess some characters I'd love to draw are, I've always had a real thing for all the DC Silver Age guys, like Adam Strange and all those space characters that DC had. And, I mean, you know, the natural guys like Batman seems to would be one that I think would suit my style pretty well. And I've always been more of a DC guy myself, so I guess I would go there.
Cool. All right, let's go back and talk about the third book in the Essex County trilogy. It's coming out in October, is that correct?
Yeah, you kind of caught me
Tentatively?
off guard because I think it's changed a couple times,
Okay.
but it's either August or October. I forget because they
Yeah.
changed it and then maybe changed it back. So you have to keep track on Top Shelf. They know what's going on. But yeah, it's coming out late summer, early fall anyway. And I think we'll probably try to have copies for sale at Comic-Con in San Diego. So.
How far along currently are you with the book? I mean, is it all done and just waiting for the
Third book?
printing?
Oh yeah, it's done. It's been sent off to Chris and Brett at Top Shelf, and at this point they're just proofreading it for, you know, spelling and things like that, and then it'll be in the can. So.
And what, for the people who have read the first two books, or, I'm sure are going to rush out and buy the first two books after hearing this, what do we have to look forward to in the third book?
The third book, it was kind of a tough one to do for me because I was trying to decide. I worked with Chris Staros, Top Shelf, a lot, and trying to figure out, I guess earlier how I'd said I started the first book and then got more ideas for a trilogy or whatever. Really, most of the ideas that I had come up with were all went into the second book. And then I was left with, well, what do I need the third book to be? And I went through a couple drafts of different sort of takes on what I could do, and what in the end what I sort of what we came up with was. What I really needed to do was tie the first two books together more clearly and sort of show these two generations come together. So I think the third book, I think will be pretty rewarding for people who like the first two because you get to see, I don't know, not a, in, I don't think you ever get a clear resolution in any of my work, but you certainly get to see the storylines from the first two volumes sort of intertwine more directly and play themselves out a bit more. And hopefully, like with the first two books, it will stand on its own as well. So.
Do you think without getting too much into it, I guess, do you feel like it really ties up what you want to say about Essex County or?
Yeah, I definitely felt I felt like it was the end when I was finished this one of the story for sure, and that's kind of what I hoped to feel, you know, when I finished it. I thought if I felt it, if I didn't feel like it was over when I was done drawing the book, I don't think I would have done my job. So, yeah, it definitely feels like the end of that story, and I don't know that I'll be going back there anytime soon.
Sure. A couple of little questions I like to ask at the end of every interview, and then we'll just sort of wrap up talking about what's coming up next for you. But
Sure.
what, at least that you can remember, is the first comic book you ever read?
Oh, jeez. First thing I remember reading. I don't know if you remember all those, when you go to a grocery store, you'd get those DC digest size. They were kind of like the Archie size digest books, and they were,
Oh,
I
my.
had a couple of those that were like collections of, I think, old Justice Society of America stories by Joe Staton, and I don't know who wrote them, but I remember those quite vividly. And yeah, for me, it was DC stuff early and kind of always stayed that way.
What, and you can give a couple of answers if you want, because people always have a problem with this, but favorite book series or one shot, just of all time or
Oh,
of right
geez.
now?
I'll give you a top five. How's
Okay,
that
that sounds great.
sound? I would say, I know you caught me off guard again. Hicksville by Dylan Horrocks. Cages by Dave McKean. Eddie Campbell's Alec books. From Hell. Watchmen. That's what comes to mind.
No, that's great. That's a good list. Actually, before I ask this next question, often I find comic creators don't actually have time to read comics. Do you, is there anything, if you are having time to read comics, anything that you're reading right now by a creator who's not you that you'd like to plug?
Yeah, well, definitely. I mentioned him earlier, but Matt Kent from Top Shelf, and I'm not just saying this because he's another top shelf guy, but just because he's always been one of my favorite cartoonists. If you guys haven't read Super Spy, it's I think the best comic that came out last year.
Awesome.
And also For Second is publishing an author named GP, an Italian cartoonist who put out the books Garage Band and Notes for a War Story last year. And those two books were phenomenal. And that guy's just hugely inspiring to me right now. Those two guys.
Cool. And just to wrap up, after the third book comes out, whether it's August or October, you sort of mentioned this a little bit. What's coming up next for you? What else do you want to plug, if anything?
I can't specifically say the projects yet, but like I said, I'm working on two new graphic novels. One will be for Top Shelf, which will probably come out, we're probably thinking late 2009, early 2010. And again, I can't really discuss
sure.
it. Because I just started talking to Chris and Brett about it. But,
yeah.
So that book I'm going to be working on for the next year. And then I was lucky enough to hook up with another publisher as well to do a project that I think will probably come out before that, another graphic novel, which I'm not allowed to announce yet, but I have a feeling that one will probably be announced at one of the summer cons by the company. So.
Cool. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate
it.
Comic Book Club is recorded in front of a live audience every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. To find out more info or to listen to additional episodes, go to popcultureshock.com/CBClub.